I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. All morning we've been telling you that we were hoping to make contact with Paul Phillips. Come to find out that he's on the road, and actually he told me he'd be in and out of cell service, and I think I've discovered why. But his son Cam is with us now, and Cam usually gets the duty of going out on the water with us when my sons and I come up to put us on some fish. Cam, it's good to talk with you.
Hey, it's always good to be on the on the show.
Did I understand right? Your dad's on a turkey hunt right now?
I think so. He went out there to drop a elk head off to a guy who hunted with us a couple years ago, and I think they were trying to line up a turkey hunt at the same time to have a little bit of fun.
Well, you guys, and my guess is a lot of our listeners may not be aware that that's a big part of what you do up there at Strawberry Bay. During the hunt season is get people on some beautiful Utah bulls.
We do. We do limited entry guided bull elk hunts on the Wasatch unit every year. Take 10 to 15 hunters, and we've been, you know, pretty fortunate and lucky the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I've been there when you and your dad come back dragging in you, and John as well, and after a long day of trying to get people on animals up there and then having to deal with what's going on at the marina store, you guys work hard year round. My guess is you're plenty busy right now, too, with ice off season right on us.
We're just coming to probably the tail end of ice off. The last couple of evenings have been beautiful. The fishing hasn't been real fast, but I've seen some really nice fish come out.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures posted on Facebook. Matter of fact, you talk about the tail end of ice off. There was a video posted by Strawberry Bay on Facebook a couple of days ago where you were just concentrating on the movement of that ice and the sounds of it as it made its way on shore.
Yeah, so that when we get a good wind, start pushing it, it'll push itself right up on shore, and we're getting to that point where the ice body as a whole is structurally weak enough that it'll come apart and start moving like that.
So you said the fishing is slowing down a little bit. I think right as that ice starts to pull back from the shoreline, if you can get there, and obviously we've missed the window here because a lot changes this time of year in just a matter of days, but if you can get there as that ice pulls back, man, those big lunkers are coming out from underneath the ice and looking for just about anything to eat.
Yeah, and that's ice off fishing gets hyped pretty hard, and I think to a degree it might be a little bit overhyped. It's great. I love the atmosphere. It's my favorite time of year to get out and walk the shores and just you know, look for a fish. But what I do think that ice off lends itself to is it's a real chance at catching a big fish. There's some science that goes into it, and you can actually have a targeted shot at a big fish rather than just luck.
Well, if you look at some of the dates on the state records, many of them are caught this time of year.
Yep, those big fish, they get active after a long winter of, you know, being dormant or just trying to get through the cold water, and they come up, start cruising those shorelines, and you can target bigger fish and get them. And so that's a neat part of ice off. We've seen several fish in the 5 to 6 pound range already this year. We've got a couple of more evenings to go before I think the ice will be actually gone. So if you got a chance to get up, you know, either tonight or tomorrow night, then go for it.
Will those big fish stay close to shore as long as that water temperature is what it is right now?
Yeah, I think they do. I think as soon as the ice comes off, the fish really disperse. That and we get a point where the runoff and richness of the lake is kind of at a max, and so the fishing tails off pretty hard for about a month, and then towards the end of May, it really picks back up again as water temperatures are more conducive, and everything that's been flushed into the reservoir from runoff kind of settles to the bottom, and the fish start really being more active feeders again.
Yeah, and you'll hear us refer to that as the lake turning over, which is sure to come, as it does every year. We always suggest that people make their first stop the marina store there, if for no other reason than just to get some tips on where the fishing has been the hottest. But what do you recommend for tactics right now?
So one of my favorite things to do is to throw that, it's a black marabou jig, about an inch and a half long, 1/8 ounce or 1/16 ounce head. You just walk the shorelines, throw it out to the edge of the ice, and do a nice slow retrieve coming back. You can never go wrong with white tube jigs. It gets it. Jake Spinnelers. But I really like fishing those black marabou leech patterns this time of year.
Yeah, it's funny you'd say that because Navidauskas, who had to step away from the show already and was helping us with Fish Bites last hour, always talks about the effectiveness of the darker colors right after ice off.
Yep, yep. Those fish, there's a lot of stuff in the water, and that black is a pretty good imitation of what's hanging around and what they're actively feeding on.
I think the last time we talked to your dad, and it's been, of 6 weeks or so, there were some surprise kokanee that were coming through the ice, and I just wonder what your expectations are on kokanee fishing coming up, because it just seems to get better and better every year.
That's what we hope. So we, with COVID last year, it was really unique, and, you know, we had a ton of people, and we kind of wondered what it was going to do with the kokanee numbers, because fishing pressure was more or less unprecedented. Just tons and tons of kokanee were harvested last year, and talking to our biologists, and from what I saw in the river, our spawn was enormous. So we didn't even touch the kokanee numbers in the reservoir, even with all the pressure. We had a great spawn. We were able to retain a ton of fish, and that just means that it's sustainable, and we should see great kokanee fishing for the future looking forward.
You know, I use the word normal, but there's hasn't been much that's been normal in our lives for a while. When is the original normal time for kokanee fishing to pick up?
We start seeing guys fish kokanee the second the ice comes off, and for a few really brave souls before then. But we'll have boats on the water out targeting kokanee literally, you know, within a day after the ice comes out. Typically speaking, that early season kokanee fishing is done in the top 10 feet of the water, so you're targeting fish that are right on the surface. It can be hit or miss, but as we figure this out and get better at what we do, the kokanee fishing just becomes more consistent.
Every so often I'll get a text from your dad just saying, you need to get up here. The kokanee fishing is crazy. So I know you're putting a smile on a lot of guys' faces up there, guys and gals, for that matter. But we always tell people to stop by the marina store. Your dad, of course, was walking those shores when he was a little guy. And, of course, you've been up there ever since. And there's just no better way to get a good tip on where the fish are biting and what they're looking to eat. So we'll direct them to your store. You still have rooms available up there too, right?
Yeah. So we have a 21-room lodge. We have about 25 boats in our rental fleet that we send out. We're equipped to take care of pretty much anything that, you know, you'd like to do, guided fishing, corporate events, family. We just want to get the family out and go. We're able to handle any manner of use.
Tell everybody where what number they can call if they want to call ahead.
So you can call ahead at 435-548-2261 or reach us at www.strawberrybay.com and make reservations either online or over the phone.
All right, Cam, I hope the next time we talk, we're just sitting in the boat waiting for the fish to bite.
Hey, we need to do one of those. I think we've got good enough phone service up there that we could pull off a radio show on the water.
You don't have to twist my arm very hard. I'd be happy to do that from the back porch of the store while breakfast is served. That was one of my favorite days up there, actually. Cam Phillips, thank you as always.
No problem. Thanks, Tim. Hopefully we'll get to see you this year.
All right. Coming up in just a minute, we'll wrap up the program, and we'll go camping. We've got the camp spot of the week with Russ Smith next.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final segment for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio, and I've been apologetic to Russ off the air because we've run out of time for the camp spot of the week, which you're in charge of. But we carved it out this week, and we're going to make a point to have space for it week in and week out. Before you get to the camp spot, though, I don't know if you've gone to our Facebook page or not.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you really need to see this video. Mark Wade sent this to me via email, and then I found it also on the Facebook page for Road Tripping with Bob and Mark. Some buddies of his, a relative and his friend, were at Strawberry Reservoir doing some ice fishing. And they said it was a beautiful sunny day. He'd caught a fish, which he had laid down on the ice. Suddenly heard a loud noise and a whoosh of air next to his body, and the fish disappeared into a mass of claws and thrumming wings. Listen to the audio here. An eagle was circling overhead just waiting for the opportunity to take this fish that came through the ice. Mark put a little music to make it a little more dramatic, but you can
see. Big old eagle flying around trying to steal our fish.
Yeah. And it looks like the eagle gives up on it and flies away, but now he looks like a 747 coming in for a landing. He takes one more pass and gets his beat. Here he comes. Like within 2 feet, maybe, of a fisherman on the ice. Grabs the fish and takes off with it, and then Mark put it again in slow motion so you can see the whole thing. Wow, is it amazing video. If you get a chance to look at it, do
that's
so.
Awesome.
Yeah, look on our Facebook page, KSL.
Well, that's just one of those once-in-a-lifetime things, you know?
Yeah.
Chumming eagles, huh?
Well, it worked that day.
Yeah.
All right, where are we going on a camping trip here?
Well, I want to talk about Escalante Grand Staircase National Monument and how to be prepared to go down there and to avoid surprises. The biggest hazard right now, and you need to check in advance, is how much rain did they just get and how bad are the roads going in. That road going in, the Hole in the Rock Road out of Escalante is very popular to go in. You can see most all the park from there. But I'll tell you, that's got that axle grease mud, and it doesn't take a lot of rain to stir that up.
Yeah.
Just keep in mind, they've got a tow service out of Escalante to come get you.
I wouldn't make that part of my vacation plans.
I would check before you go into the monument. I would get the phone number for them, because they'll come rescue you. They know how to do it there. But that's the most popular area, and you've got Escalante right there. It's a pretty good-sized city for Highway 12, and they've got, you know, if you don't want to actually camp on the monument, you've got plenty of motels there, but plenty of places to gas up right before you go, and you want to top off everything. Make sure you've got plenty of water. Make sure the tank is topped off, and get some munchies because you're not coming out soon.
Well, I noticed if you're going to stay in the Escalante area, they have cabins and RV parks there, so you don't have to rough it necessarily.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. If you go in the Hole in the Rock, and I suggest if you've never been there, you need to go once anyway. It's 50 miles down, 50 miles back, and it's a rough 50 miles. You'll You'll have to pick all your fillings and stuff up off the floor of the car. It's some gorgeous, gorgeous scenery. And it's gotten very popular down there now. It used to be you could drive that in a day and not see anybody. Now there's a lot of people camped down there. About halfway down, there's plenty of nice places to camp. A lot of red rock where the kids can go play. You know, it's just a beautiful area. And you can get down to Lake Powell that way through Hole in the Rock. You can actually walk down to the lake.
I've noticed there's some glamping in the area. Is that Ranger Stan's group that's doing that?
Some of it. Now you put me on the spot there.
No, that's all right. Kanab, I noticed, which is about 40 minutes away from Zion National Park.
Yeah, that's
Park.
A different company.
That's Base Camp 37 Degrees. But yeah. The one under Canvas
right.
is Ranger Stan's group, and they've got some at Lake Powell.
Yeah. Lake Powell, Moab. Down there at Zion on the west side. So that's for the deep pockets folks.
Yeah. It's not a cheap way to stay, but it is a comfy way to stay. And
really
say,
nice way to stay.
And
yeah.
say you stayed in a tent.
Well, you know, if you've got a spouse one way or the other that refuses to go camping.
Yeah.
You could take her that way and she'd go back again anyway. But so that's one entrance in. The other one is go down to Kodachrome Basin, and that puts you right on the more westerly part of the monument, which is an excellent place, plenty of arches to go see, plenty of scenery, a lot of semi-off-road. I'd classify that as, you know, double track. Plenty of that to do. Most of it can be done in just a all-wheel drive vehicle. We see a lot of Subarus down there.
Yeah.
Some of them without mufflers now. But,
they're learning the hard way.
But, and you have you go in out of Cannonville, and there's a little store there at the motel. But you're just close to Tropic and close to Bryce from there.
So. Oh, there's so much to see.
Yeah.
And I just noticed the canyons of Escalante, and you say Escalante, I say Escalante.
Yeah, either way.
They have an RV park and a cabin offering down there with deluxe cabins, camping cabins, an RV park. Tent sites rent looks like for about $18 a night for a couple of people.
Not bad.
Bucks for an extra person. And children 7 and under and 7 and younger are free. So... just about anything you want to do down there.
There's really no established campsites on the monument. It's just, find a nice place to camp. They don't have a lot of rules. I would check, though. There's a great visitor center in Escalante and a great one. I really recommend you stop there. And there's a lot of free maps and stuff and get you all the latest information there. And nice, clean restrooms too.
Yeah, well, that's always what Muscle's looking for.
Check that out,
the Kaivo King. We're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time,
and that's
going to wrap up the show. But another great idea to get away and just enjoy what looks like some perfect weather. Certainly today, with just a slight chance of showers coming in the forecast tomorrow, Sunday, as this interview airs. Real quick, as we wrap up, Russ, tell everybody how to find you if they need a satellite phone.
Well, call me at 801-450-8317. And if you want more information, call me. We'll talk about the area down there. This is Kodachrome weekend, second year not going.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
That was such a part of your life for how many years? 15
yeah.
at least.
Oh, yeah, 15. Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for the Outdoor Show this week. Don't go away. It is also 'tis the season for gardening, and that means it's going to be peak time for the Greenhouse Show. We'll check in with Maria and Ton, turn over the microphones next here on KSL, and I'll see you back here Monday morning starting at 5 with Utah's Morning News along with Amanda Dixon. Have a great week.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy,
but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.